SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening on Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. A nice Wednesday here in upstate New York. Unseasonably mild, as they say. And we're at that weekend juncture. The leaf peeping, I think, is starting in earnest. The people who come marauding into the region, into new upper reaches of New England and up here to look at trees changing color. This is the first morning actually of the fall that has that feel to it. In fact, Tina and I were driving around, and I guess a certain number of you will know what a burn barrel is. Some of you won't. Actually, even in the cities, the 55-gallon drums that you burn off all kinds of stuff. It's that time, and you get that. Burning leaves smell in the air. You actually can't use it anymore in our village in Greenwich. You can't use the burn barrel. But out in the countryside, out in the hinterland, you can. And it's funny because we saw a few yesterday afternoon, or was it? I'm losing track. Monday afternoon, as we were driving to and from. We actually made a pilgrimage every Columbus Day. We have a tradition. It's closing day. Columbus Day is at Martha's up by Lake George, Queensbury, the famous ice cream stand, and they close the ice cream shop on Columbus Day every year. So I'm always cognizant. I remind her a couple of days out. You know, Monday, Martha's is closing, so we go up to Martha's. So we were down to Albany. We were all the way up to Lake George on Monday. Starting to get into that feel. In fact, we're going out to Hamilton on Saturday, and we will see the streaking Red Raiders. The maroon is. It was on a big roll, and we're going to go see the Colgate-Cornell game. And as soon as the football game ends, hockey right across the parking lot in the Class of 65 arena. Bill Barich, of course, part of that Class of 65, and we're going to go watch the hockey against New Hampshire. So a big doubleheader. You got to marry right to suggest this kind of an afternoon to your better half and say, honey, you want to go see Colgate football and Colgate hockey? Sure, why not? And we're going to go see my goddaughter and her baby. We haven't seen the baby. So we're going out to Madison County, where Lenny Shulman and I both worked as newspaper staffers on the Oneida Daily Dispatch. And I bring up Lenny, as I did the other day, yesterday, I guess. Lenny's going to be with us, I think, tomorrow. And, in fact, I could even weave him in with Steve Askin, maybe, because, as I mentioned, Lenny's got a nice piece of news we want to share. So look forward to that. Looking forward to the conversations today. And there's a historic note that I noticed the other day, and it was in the back of my mind that on the 10th, I wanted to bring it up. And on October 10th, 1974, at Lincoln Downs, in Rhode Island, in Pawtucket, right? They're Pawtucket, Lincoln. On this date, the contest of the sexes, not the battle of the sexes. I see it written up in some places as the battle of the sexes. It wasn't called the battle of the sexes at the time. It was they called it the contest of the sexes. And it pitted Mike LaPonce against Denise Boudreau. And seeing Denise Boudreau's name, it kind of made me think to look around. Denise Boudreau was a tremendous rider. And the history of female riders, for whatever reason, she does not seem to get the notice that she should. She won the riding title in 1974 at Suffolk. She won 94 races in 92 days. And she was a not just, a good female rider. She was a flat-out good jock. And it's unusual. I don't know why. You just don't hear her name as much as you should. And that, this date in history made me kind of poke around. And as a result, just delighted to have Gory Smith, Frank Smith, from South Carolina, of course, Hammy Smith's brother, and a absolute legend. I mean, a horseman of, just legendary status, and a horseman's horseman, down in Ellery, and Frank's name came up via Kip Elser because, as it happens, Boudreau spent a lot of time in South Carolina during the off seasons, and I asked Kip Elser because of Kip's, South Carolina tie, obviously. And Kip said, Frank Smith, Gory Smith, that's who you want. And sure enough, had a great conversation. I think maybe one other time, actually, off the air, I talked to Frank Smith. Smith started the careers of countless jockeys, including Chris McCarron, who he introduced at the Hall of Fame ceremony. He presented Chris Antley posthumously, obviously, and the McCarrons. He got the McCarrons started in their careers, and even recently, Wesley Hamilton got his training. Smith has sent out, there are so many exercise riders around the country whose horsemanship was crafted with Gory Smith. And as it happens, the Ellery Training Center, the piece of property by the training center that Denise Boudreau bought for her father to retire, and he lived for many years there. And Frank Smith knew Denise Boudreau very well. He's going to join us at about 10:30 or so after we're done with Sid. And I mean, Frank, to be honest, Gory Smith could fill up, I could do 3 hours with Gory Smith. And, of course, we love to, for those of you that have never, if you've heard Hammy Smith's voice, you're gonna say, oh, my God, he sounds just like Hammy. And he really does. He's got that certain, that It's a bit of a drawl. It's got that the drawl tinge to it. So I really appreciate this from Frank, and I want people to be aware of Denise Boudreau's horsemanship and her career and her accomplishments. I mean, this was obviously a gimmick, and it came so November or October 10th, 74. So it came. When was Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean? It was had to be early, either earlier in the year or late in 73. Within a year, they had this contest of the sexes. And the thing is, you know, you're dealing with horses, so it's a two-part. She won the first race on October 10th, and then a week later, they flip-flopped the horses. La Ponce took her winning mount, and she took La Ponce's losing mount from the previous week, and she won again. she's one of these riders who elevated horses, and she earned a nickname among New England fans in Rhode Island and New Hampshire and Boston. And she rode New York. She would come down to New York, but they called her Longshot Lady. And in fact, her husband, Rolly Hopkins, she met her husband. She rode a 70-something to one shot winner for Rolly Hopkins, and that's how they met, and they ended up getting married. And of course, very sadly, died at 57, Denise Boudreau, about 8 years ago, I think in 2010, and brain cancer. Very sad. But we'll let Gory Smith tell you about her, and he was delighted to have us reach out, because he said the exact same thing that I suggested. He said I don't understand either why she's not more acknowledged in the landscape of female riders, because she was at the time. I put up a link this morning of a Frank DeFord article. Frank DeFord wrote a big piece about her in 74 while she was romping through that riding title. So I think you'll enjoy this. I mentioned Sid. We'll talk to Sid about a variety of topics. Fireworks at Tattersall's yesterday. Crazy. A crazy $4 million yearling and bidding war. This one won by Coolmore, but we'll touch on the first day of OBS. You had a Cairo Prince set a record, 340,000 colt for the fall sale at Ocala. And they had a good day. Jack Oxley took this one. So we'll touch on that and lots of other bloodstock news. Plus, we'll let Sid riff on the results, including the latest McLean's music for Chad and Seth Klarman. It's crazy. Cloud computing and now Complexity. We'll talk also about the other juvenile performers. Get Sid's take. Some stud fee news too. Quality Road up to $1.50 next year. That lane's out. Yeah. He's tearing it up. Pete Fornital is going to join us shortly. He's in London. He's on the International Zoo Tour with Perrin. He's bringing her to the London Zoo today. They were just at the Bronx Zoo. So everywhere they go, I guess Perrin's got to see the zoo. She should start a zoo review blog. We'll catch up with with Seth. We missed Seth last week. We tried him a bunch of times. And more. Some trainer chats expected as well. We'll look at what's going on at Keeneland. You got the Jessamine today. And somebody's going to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly turf out of this. And it feels like Rusty Arnold. Everybody's got a circle around Concrete Rose. Doesn't mean she's going to win, but she certainly looked great at Saratoga. And pointed right for this. My gal Betty for Atfield out of the Natalma, but she's outposted. Let's take a break. Get going. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races coming up on 20 into hour one on this Wednesday. We'll get to a couple of results also from yesterday. Had some stakes at Finger Lakes and at Indiana. And actually, a nice story. Debbie Breed was trying to repeat with Breaking the Fever, who has not been in the same form that he had been. He actually ran very well in the Leon Reed yesterday and ended up getting overhauled by a stablemate. Yeah, Winston's Chance, who's actually, he himself has been terrific. This is the Roaring Fever gelding and came late. Actually ran a big, got a 96 fig too. That Nick Tamaro makes the figures for Finger Lakes for Andy Beyer. And that's a career best, Winston's Chance. And she trains, Debbie Breed trains this one for Char Alley Stable and Kathy Hares. And she ends up running 1-2, breaking the fever with one of his best efforts of the year. He had been 0-3, but this was a good effort. So that was the Leon Reed. You had two stakes at Indiana. The Crown Ambassador, Ace of Aces, Bernie Flint, Alex Kenchari at 2-5, and in the Indiana Stallion, Phil Bauer for Mr. Rigney with Fireball Baby. Wire to Wire and Fernando de la Cruz, and just held off Stormy Lives, Deshaun Parker, Ethan West trains. And so there was a little Tuesday, some Tuesday stakes. And today the action certainly focused on Keeneland. And Gus looked at the late action, and I'll have Gus's opinions up on the website in a little bit. Right now, Pete Fornatel, he's over in London again, the Globetrotter, and I said to everybody, it's Perrin's International Zoo Tour as she goes from the Bronx to what neighborhood's the London Zoo in?
It is over on the other side of the river. I don't know what you're going to call that technically. It's in Regent's Park, so it sort of spans neighborhoods, Fitzrovia, something like that. We're very excited about the continuation of the zoo tour. Perrin waiting patiently, watching British TV shows while we do our appearance today, and then we're gonna head out and check out this zoo. It looks very old school and cool. I think we're gonna pack a lot into just a couple hours that we'll spend over there, and then we're gonna do the London Eye tonight as well. So we'll get to watch the sunset over the city, and don't think we'll be able to. Our eyes won't quite reach out as far as any race courses, but looking forward to it tonight. Should be a blast.
Very nice. I'm telling you, she should start a blog, and she could have her own to start her own following. Get her out early. The weekend there was a real smattering and a wide array of tourney options this weekend, and that included the doubleheader at Santa Anita for the another big Saturday of action, and there was a little bit of everything. There was a lot of BCBC qualifying, obviously, with just weeks remaining for people to to get the packages and win their way to Churchill. Of course, they can play remotely, but lots went on. Give us a report.
Absolutely. The biggest headline coming out of Santa Anita, with two very important players in the contest world getting the wins on the respective days. We'll start with Sunday, and Jim Bennis, who's had just a tremendous year. He won that Hawthorne Invitational, the one that was broadcast on local TV out there in Chicago. And then he also won the Ultimate Betting Challenge earlier in the year, the Strana contest that took place at both Santa Anita and Gulfstream. And now he adds another Santa Anita win with this doubleheader challenge Sunday game. And very, very impressive. But as great of a year as the former NHC champion has had, that is not the biggest story of the weekend. The biggest story of the weekend is that Tony Joe, who's been so close in so many major events with lots of top 10 finishes, including at the World Horse Players Tour this year, at the big one just a couple of weeks ago, he did finally get an outright win earlier this year in a live bank contest at Santa Anita in one of the $500 games. But this was his first in what you'd call a major live bankroll event, and I'll define that as one with a buy-in of 2,000 or more. In the $3,000 contest on Saturday, Tony gets the job done, and strategically brilliant, as he had two entries, and he had one entry that was in the lead heading to the last race. But he knew from his handicapping and from his computer algorithm that there was a very live long shot in the race. And he had saved money to wager on that horse on his second entry. And it worked out perfectly, because while three other players in that last race with the 23-1 shot passed his initial entry, he essentially blocked them all by pole vaulting his saver entry, his closer entry. He called it a rabbit and closer strategy. And his second entry ends up in first. He net $70,000, in cash from his bankroll, prize money, and seats to other tournaments. And maybe the thing he's the most excited about, now eligible for a $1 million bonus on both of his entries for next year's Pegasus World Cup Betting Challenge. Now, we've talked a lot about Tony on the DRF Players podcast. Of course, we talked about him on the World Horse Players Tour broadcast as well. And big things have been predicted. The idea was, both JK and I have talked about this and figured that once he broke through and got a major, he was going to probably do something special. I'm starting to wonder if the special thing he isn't going to do is to become the first, well, actually, technically the second, all due respect to Michael Baychuk and the NHC that he won that was worth $1 million. But for these million-dollar bonuses that have been around the last few years, maybe Tony's going to be the guy to finally do it. So that's going to be a major story to follow at the Pegasus early next year. And congrats to him. He's a terrific guy, very sharing of his knowledge, and great to see him and Jim Bennis in the winner's circle from that Santa Anita doubleheader this weekend.
Some other, I've only seen the leaderboards, you know, from the doubleheader, and Christy Moore and Brian Herity, J.K. Jonathan had a nice run to be fifth. John Connolly. What else do we have? Any other major name storylines that we can touch on?
I'm still waiting for that full report from Nate Newby. It will be a topic, if I get the info in time, it'll be a topic on the podcast. I'm actually going to be recording it tonight, but that will be officially released on Friday. Hopefully I'll get a little bit more information. And, yeah, it's tough. When I'm not out there, it's tough to get all the information about the who finished where. But hopefully, if nothing else, we can get something, press release from them that we can circulate out by Twitter, because I know there are other – whenever you have a live bankroll contest of that significance, there's going to be other big stories. You mentioned J.K. I do know that for his fifth-place finish on Sunday, he will now be double-barreled for the NHC. He's certainly excited about that, in particular, being the only player to have put two entries in the top 10 at an NHC in the past. They've now, of course, changed the rule, the so-called Jonathan Kinchin rule, where back when J.K. did it, one of those two was automatically moved to 11th. Now you can play your two entries right through, and that's a strategy that a lot of players might try to take advantage of, the ability to play your two tickets with a lot of the same horses and maybe have a chance for your contention to run deep and give yourself that extra edge towards the end. That'll be interesting to see. I have a feeling somebody will do that in the next few years, playing with that type of strategy. Being able to deliver two tickets to the final table certainly would give you all that much more leverage as you get down to the big money at that event. But looking for more info for the Santa Anita contest this weekend, and I will pass it along when I get it.
Very good. What else? What went on your platform?
It was a lot of last chance contests for Keeneland. And some names that I've seen before on leaderboards, but not as familiar to me as some of the names I was seeing at the top of the Santa Anita boards. We had three different opportunities to win into Keeneland, which is now taking place next weekend, two contests, the $400 one on Saturday and the bigger money one on Sunday, the Keeneland Fall Challenge. On Monday, special card of action, David Brownfield won his spot. On Sunday, it was Kenneth Malicone, not sure how he pronounces it, but he wins the big Keeneland prize. And then the final Keeneland opportunity of the weekend went to Tim Stadler. So lots of stuff happening there. folks also this week looking forward to an opportunity to play at the Fall Classic. DRF tournaments ran qualifying for that. I think that might already be underway, actually. That one might have started or might be starting today. So you'll see the Mythical players congregating in Vegas, the Live Bankroll players heading out to Keeneland for the weekend, and we'll have a lot of hopefully some good stories and some winners from those events to discuss when we reconvene next week, Steve.
Very good. Well, keeping tabs, and obviously, you know, with every passing week, I mean, the BCBC is obviously on the horizon and looms large, but the NHC seats, that'll very quickly become the focus. Those super qualifiers that are yet to run toward the end of the year, Fairgrounds and Santa Anita yet, and I'm sure everybody making plans and trying to plot their strategies to get where they need to be to make sure they're in Vegas. So keeping an eye on that front as well.
Absolutely. Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge coming up on the Friday and Saturday of Breeders' Cup weekend, and we've just debuted on the DRF Tournaments platform qualifiers for a Santa Anita contest happening on their closing day that Sunday. I think that's another $3,000 game you can win your way in on DRF Tournaments. Players will have the opportunity, if they don't want to deal with the madness of Churchill, to play the Breeders' Cup potentially from Santa Anita and then stick around for that Live Bankroll game on Sunday. That's an interesting option, especially if you end up winning your way in to that Santa Anita closing day contest. But, of course, I expect a robust field of contest players from around the country to descend upon Churchill Downs for the BCBC. You know, the rules have been revamped in that one, and it looks like that's going to come off without a hitch, hopefully, and I'll hopefully have an opportunity to interview the winner and report back on the podcast and in the pages of Daily Racing Form, and also right here on At the Races, Steve. Hopefully we'll get some more good stories cooking. And then in terms of the overall contest world, as you point out, the NHC, the folks who haven't qualified yet, then the pressure is really going to be on, because, of course, unlike the BCBC and all these other contests we talk about, you can't buy into that one. You've got to win your way in. So that's why those super qualifiers and these upcoming live bankroll events are going to take on a little bit of significance for folks who have that circled on their calendar or something that they do every year. So those will be stories we can follow also as the contest year goes along and we build up. There's really no pause these days. We got the NHC, we got the Pegasus contest, qualifiers for that on DRF tournaments as well. That's looking like it's going to be a very big deal. A lot of great stories in there. I know I spoke to Ray Arsenault last week, who won his way into that on DRF tournaments, and he was involved with the genesis of that event and is predicting that they might have twice as many people as they had in the first year with all the positive attention that received, as well it should, given that that's a tournament where the house puts up the prize pool. Players come up with their $12,000 bankroll, but it's all added value after that. So that's another big one that contest players' attention will be headed towards as we head towards the end of 2018 and onward and upward in 2019. Can't believe we're talking about that already, but that's where we are.
Oh, always. And you know, you mentioned the Santa Anita closing day, November 4th, after the Breeders' Cup dust settles. But there is one other opportunity before that, and that is a week from Saturday. Nothing this weekend after the first two weekends of Santa Anita. Plenty of action with that doubleheader and opening weekend. But there's the Autumn Challenge, which is just a $500 contest. And actually, this could be played. ExpressBet users can play as well online. $500 buy-in, $300 bank, $200 toward the prize package. And that prize package, based on 200 entries, one Pegasus entrant and two NHC seats. So, you know, ExpressBet had been kind of out of the NHC seat arena for a few years, but they're back in. And this is actually, you know, for $500, this is a nice opportunity. So keep that one in mind for the 20th, a week from Saturday. And speaking of some play-ins, I did see that one of our friends, as we call the famed New Jersey Mafia, the Kenny Jordan and Lou Filoso and Rich Eng is part of that circle. The Jersey Mafia struck over the weekend with Kenny Jordan getting not one but both of the BCBC entries knocked out. He did that online at Horse Tourneys, and I was happy for Kenny.
That's great news. Yeah, he's a favorite of mine. I've talked to him since one of the first players I got introduced to through our mutual friend Jake Jacobs of Racing Flow fame back when I was doing the research for Winning Contest Player, and I've kept close tabs on him and had the opportunity to hang out with him a little bit up in Woodbine. He was one of the players in that ultimately successful American contingent that got the job done up north, and it's great to see that he'll be double-barreled for the BCBC in a few weeks' time.
Well, and I will mention that, you know, Kenny, on Friday and Saturday, you know, he won outright on Friday and then ran second on Saturday. Joe Calvo was the other winner on Saturday of a BCBC package. And so pretty cool. Keeping track of all the winners all over online and on sites, and you can follow it with Pete, and Eric Wing keeps track at Horse Tourneys, and of course Michelle Ravencraft from NTRA, and you gotta have your finger on a lot of pulses to stay on top of it all.
Absolutely, looking forward. Hopefully, I dream of the day when we have a contest wiki, Steve, where folks will just upload the results automatically.
That's
right,
an interesting idea.
And have it all in one place. I haven't done anything about it. Maybe in my new my freelance lifestyle, I have an opportunity
there you go.
To get a little more serious about that. It wouldn't take that many. You know, you could get if you got there's about half a dozen people you'd need to get interested in updating that info. But I do think it's something that could serve as a nice potential hub for the contest world and one stop shopping. Just go and take a look at where the winners were for the weekend instead of the current hunting and pecking we sometimes have to do. But between the podcast and your show, Steve, and the articles in DRF and Eric Wing's fine work, as well as the missives sent out by the NTRA, people can get a pretty good handle on what's going on and hopefully get to see their own names in print for having some success, whether it's qualifying for a big tournament or cashing big like Tony Joe and Jim Bennis this weekend.
Well, and, Keeneland on Sunday, too, we should mention, has got the dual qualifier, and both BCBC and NHC. So this is the season. And, players, sometimes there's that little post-summer freshener, I think some people need, and I don't blame them after Saratoga and Del Mar and Ellis and the intensity of the summer sessions. And then, you get toward the end of September, and now everybody seems to be wading back in, and you can just tell the number of participants gets up, and everybody's trying, I think, hone their skill ahead of Cup. I mean, this is a great period.
Players I've heard describe these tournaments this time of year, Steve, almost like horses with prep races, where I'll hear people speaking very positively about efforts that weren't necessarily winning ones in terms of shaking off the cobwebs, getting the mindset right, getting the decision-making process going in the correct direction to hopefully be able to put in a peak effort when the money is biggest on a day like the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. It's an interesting concept that I think there's probably some validity to getting your there's so much like logistics and workflow and getting your head in the right place to compete in big live bank contests as opposed to your everyday cash play. Not a bad idea for folks thinking about playing in the BCBC to pop down to Keeneland this weekend if they can, or try to hit that Santa Anita contest, whether they do so online or from the comforts of the great race place. And I do believe, folks will have to double check me on this, but I believe that closing weekend contest at Santa Anita can also be played potentially from ExpressBet. So
it
even
is.
If you are at Churchill, you could potentially, for the BCBC, you could potentially participate in that as well. But, you know, your mileage may vary. Check that. Look into that one.
No, that's right. That's correct. You can play on track or online with ExpressBet. Absolutely.
So, great opportunity for folks from around the country. If you haven't had your fill Friday, Saturday, jump in one more time.
Yeah, and I haven't, you know, one thing I have not, now you made me think of something. Is Churchill racing on Sunday?
I they don't.
I think they must. They because it's the
right?
meet. The meet is on, right? So I'm going to assume that because the meet, unless they, you know, are going to take a break and then pick up the ball right afterward. But here, I'm going to answer that question as we speak. November 2nd, November 3rd, Sunday, November 4th. Absolutely. So Churchill is running on the day after, and they'll run the Dream Supreme. A nice little overnight going six for fillies and mares, three and ups. That's your feature. And, you can play right, continue on, assuming. Assuming ExpressBet's not locked out on the grounds, that might be an issue. But all right. Other than that, yes, they're running at Churchill on Sunday.
Very cool. I think unfortunately I'm already booked to be flying home. Had I been paying more attention, maybe I'd have stuck around for another day and had an opportunity for a little more relaxed racing. It's all but fully confirmed that I'm going to be working for Breeders' Cup for the other At the Races, Steve, the UK TV version, helping out with their Breeders' Cup coverage. So I should be around all week out in the mornings and doing some stuff in the afternoons with Matt Chapman. So it should be a very interesting few days for me, getting kind of my TV baptism by fire. I've never done anything really like that out in the field before, but I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun, and look forward to seeing a lot of At the Races with Steve Bick listeners while in Louisville for that week.
No doubt, and then you'll be great. And for those of you that are staying Sunday, give you one of the great little hints. For those of you that typically haven't stayed Sundays, All of the souvenir and apparel vendors that'll be on track, they'll all have everything on Sunday morning half price. So if you're staying, come out early. And
great watch guy tip right there.
There you go. That's a life hack. A life hack. I've always wanted to say that.
Great usage.
It helps if you're. If you're gigantic or tiny, but other than that, because it always feels like at the end, anybody that that hangs around the next day, you can take advantage of that. All right, there's your tip, Pete. Have fun at the zoo and put up lots of pictures. Parent, don't let her jump over any barriers and become a social media phenomenon.
Cautionary tale, that kind of thing. Yeah, we'll keep her out of the cages and on the well-beaten path, and we'll definitely take some pictures of our favorites as we're wont to do as we head over that way. Thanks. I can't wait to talk next week.
I love it. Pete Fortital, everybody, looms boldly. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Coming up toward the top of the hour, Sid Fernando. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. And a big weekend for the Stallions at Hill & Dale, whether it was the Grade 1 win that the son of McLean's Music authored. Then there was Current that won the Bourbon. Todd Pletcher and Eclipse, son of Curlin. And then there were those Violence Juvenile Turf Sprint. Look, Violence getting a pair of Juvenile Sprint Turf winners. Back after this at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races about 15 minutes, a little less, to the top of the hour. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale in just a little bit. Right now, happy to get Dale Romans to visit for a couple of minutes because we didn't get a chance really to talk too much about Friday's other stake win, opening day at Keeneland. And we've gotten very used to Promises Fulfilled lighting out for the front and winning. He did it against Elders and wins the Phoenix Stakes. And propels himself that much closer toward Breeders' Cup. And Dale came back with a troika in the Futurity that ran okay. We'll talk about that as well. And today's Jessamine. Dale Romans, good morning. Congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. It must be a slow day for you just to call out of the blue. You usually give me a little notice.
I know, and I've had your name at the top of the page because I had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I looked up. I said, you know what? I never reached for Dale, and I just had this little window, and I thought you got the horse and the Jessamine today too, so we can look ahead to that. And you know, you also.
So I'm right. I am just filling time for you.
You are. You are. You're. And you fill in. Let's face it. You can fill a space.
I'll fill a space.
You're a talker. Let's talk about the Breeders' Cup situation. You know, Bob Barron, you guys are having just a phenomenal run here with Promises Fulfilled. You drew the inside again, so, you know, kind of forces your hand. Some thoughts about the effort on Friday.
He's just an unbelievable horse. He just continues to impress me. Have the inside post. First time against older horses, and I mean, there's some quality good sprinters out there, and And for him to, you know, I've seen a lot of races. You know, so you can watch momentum flows. You know, you can tell when you're going to get beaten. I tell you, at the eighth pole, I thought we were beat. The momentum was all against us. And the horse was flying up on the outside. I thought, well, he's going to go on by. We're going to run a good second. And Old Promise just dug in and wouldn't let him pass. You just don't see that often.
That's encouraging, and of course you also got to acknowledge what was going on behind you and on the inside, where there's kind of an adventurous scenario for Limousine Liberal, to Louis's credit, there was no giving up the rail. That was smart, as part of his staying on to the wire.
Well, yeah, that was kind of odd. He kept checking and going. He couldn't decide whether we were inside or outside. But it might have been a case of the holes were moving faster than he was, and it looked a little worse than it was.
That's possible. Now a lot of these are going to reconvene. Some thoughts heading in toward Breeders' Cup, there's some horses that might gravitate toward the mile, the one-turn dirt mile. What are your thoughts looking ahead?
I don't know. I mean, I talked to you about that earlier in the summer. I asked for some advice from your listeners. Where should we go, the mile or the sprint? You know, I think our horse has a lot of stamina. I think a mile, he can get a mile easy, and he should have controlling speed if we decide to do that and open up on him. And then, you know, you go in the sprint, there's some good horses out there. I think he'd be the favorite, but I can see more things going wrong in the sprint. You know, more potential for things to go wrong. But I don't know. We'll pre-enter for both of them and have to make a gut choice there right when it comes entry time.
So there really hasn't – you really haven't had a significant lean in one direction or another since Friday.
Well, the obvious is go to sprint, but I want to look at all options and see. The miles, it's intriguing to me, especially here going to flat mile. With his kind of speed, I mean, I've seen that done too many times on this racetrack that they just keep right on going.
That's true. And when you're
in the sprint, I think he's the fastest horse if we want to be. But you can see horses just keep coming at him in the sprint. There's good enough horses that he if he tries to go wire to wire, he's not going to get a breather.
No.
But if you go back to the Amsterdam, Louis let a horse get in front of him. The only time one's ever been in front of him, and that was his best race by numbers on his whole chart.
Well, Imperial Hint, Roy H., we're waiting for Jason Service for their decision, too, with Firenze Fire, Limousine Liberal, Ransom the Moon, Whitmore, Miller's got another one in Distinctive B. What about Seven Trumpets? I mean, I suppose, you could be represented one way or the other in the sprint.
Well, I would take Seven Trumpets. I'm anxious to run him in the mouth.
All right.
You know, we haven't made a firm decision on whether or not to do it, and at the end of the day, it'll be up to Terry. But he's a good horse, and he's doing good. He ran a good race, and he's one of the few horses that shipped in and ran well in Philly the other day. And I think that the mile would suit him very well here.
Well, the mile side of things, of course, you're looking at the West Coast players like Catalina Cruiser and City of Light. And I think everybody at this point is expecting Mind Your Biscuits to try the Classic, but, you know, still a possibility. Pattern Recognition. Dallas Stewart is bridging the gap, seeking the Soul, the Classic, or coming off the nice win, going the mile. Firenze Fire could go either way. CZ Rocket, Warriors Club, the Battle of Midway. We had Hollendorfer the other day, and he's, of course, headed back. So you got it's the Breeders' Cup. Whichever side you go, it's going to be tough. Before we talk about the futurity, I got to ask you about the first race of the season, Pico Entry, with the basically a wire-to-wire win.
That's a good horse. He's a really good colt. Now, that's a colt that I would like to run in the juvenile turf if he could get in. I just think he's a horse that's going to be on steady improvement. You know, that mare's done nothing but produce. He's 4-for-4 now. First one was Cherry Wine, and then you had a Sweeping Patty and a CS in Charge. And now this Colt Pico Entry comes along. He's just been an unbelievable broodmare.
You know what's interesting is how he got totally ignored at the windows. You know, big 12-horse field, and you know, he was midfield, but off of that debut at Kentucky Downs, I don't know why anybody would hold a debut going 6.5. I don't know why anybody would hold that against the horse.
No, I don't know either. It's a surprise to me that, but you know, that happens a lot of King. When you get big fields, and especially a lot of maidens, a lot of them are highly thought of, and it's probably a pretty good race it came out of. And I think that it could end up being a key race. The race at Kentucky Downs was just too short for him. I tried to get in a long race, but then there's 40 horses that are never raced down there for those purses.
And, exactly.
I know people don't pay that much attention, but if you watch the race and saw the gallop out when he was five in front of the winner before they got him stopped, I knew when we stretched him out he was going to improve a lot.
Well, that gets us to Saturday. You go 2-for-2 on Friday, and on Saturday.
Monday was a good day. Let's talk about Monday.
You got it. We'll get to Monday. We're going to do this in chronological order. You sent the three out, and I picked Mr. Ankeny, and happened to be with you when he broke his maiden, and you know, he seemed in good position, and everybody was chasing the long shot of Ben Colebrooks, and then all of a sudden everybody realized this horse isn't coming back to us.
Yeah, and that's true. I'm going to tell you how tough this game is. So that Mr. Ankeny's a good colt. 3 days out, we did blood work on him. We checked him, headed to make sure he's healthy, and he got back here that night and got sick on me. He's still sick, still in this. I mean, he's going to be fine, but I don't know. He must have had something brewing, but so for him to come back and get as sick as he did and to run as well as he did, I'm not going to give up on that colt yet.
No. Well, why would you anyway? I mean, this was not. This is one of those races where, you know, everybody's going to be putting lines through the result for their horse. But talk about Everfast, who actually, you know, at 50-1 ran all right.
He's a nice horse. He's going to find his way. Everybody gets on him and rides and gets up and talks about what a great horse he's going to be down the road. So hopefully he does grow up. He's a little, has some growing to do and filling out, but hopefully he grows up into a nice horse. And, you know, Moonster is the one I thought was going to step up and run big. But I think there's a bright future for him down the road too.
Well, there's there's the futurity. We had Ben Colebrook. I've never seen anybody win a grade one and $500,000 race like that and just be laughing about it. He was as amused as you could be. I mean, they just took a shot and that's, you know, there's the reward.
Well, that's what you do, right? That's what we talk about out here all the time. When your horse is doing good, you take a shot. The kid stepped up and did the right thing, and it didn't bow to pressure to not be where he was supposed to be. And I told you, when I was younger, Wayne Lucas told me he made millions of dollars running horses where people said he didn't belong. So I'm impressed with the kid to make the decision to be in there and for the way his horse ran.
Yeah, he does a terrific job, and of course, in some ways, after the fiasco Friday with Limousine Liberal, it felt like kind of a reward after that, you know, adventure, and we'll see him, of course, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Speaking of juveniles, we've got the Jessamine today, the Irish Willow. You've also got Dak Attack, kind of a house favorite. They run back-to-back in the 6th and 7th today.
Yeah, you know, Dak's always been one of my favorites. He had a shin issue. We tried to baby it along and go the conservative route and get him to the Triple Crown Trail, but it didn't work out, but we finally had to stop, and we put a screw on it and tightened it up, and it's perfect now. He's doing great, and hopefully he goes on and has a big four-year-old year.
And how about in the feature today? Talk about this filly. This is a good group.
That's a nice filly, too. You know, that's my good friend Mark Bacon, his partnership he put together. So a lot of the same people that were in Silver Max with him. And it's a homebred. It's his first venture into the broodmare business, and this is the first foal out of there. She looks like she can run a little bit. You know, Patty Prado is one of my favorites all the time. He's been disappointing as a sire, but there's been a couple that can run. This might be one of them.
Well, this is a serious group. Who do you fear in here?
I don't know. You know, with these two-year-olds, you can fear everybody in there because you don't know who's going to step up. This is a separation point in their lives. This is when they're going to show you who's the real deal and who goes the other direction. And so you just got to hope your horse is doing good and can step up and move forward with the good ones.
And I can't let you go without bringing up one of my favorite mares, and of course Hollywood Star comes back on Friday.
Yep, he couldn't be doing better. Very, you know, I don't know why that horse hadn't turned out to be a superstar. He sure things like one, and he'll run one good race and then disappoint. When I think he's finally going to have his breakthrough and move forward, so hopefully it's Friday, and he sure worked good the other day, and he's doing good.
Give us an update on Mr. Freeze and King Zachary.
Well, King Zachary's got a little time off. Mr. Freeze is training. I don't know what happened over Philadelphia that day either. Nobody ran good on that racetrack, except for Seven Trumpets. Like I said, that's one of the things that impressed me the most. It was deep and heavy, and hopefully it was just a track because both came out of the race in good shape.
Well, McKenzie, he
ran good on it, but Bob's horses seem to run good anywhere, anytime.
Well, yeah, you know,
he's the favorite in the Breeders' Cup.
Let's get everybody there. He's going to be close. I mean, West Coast is going to move up, but I think people maybe they'll shy from that performance. I think that's a good tightener. I mean, who do you like in there?
I don't
looking
know.
Ahead?
I was impressed with McKenzie's race. And I think, you know, with that race under his belt, and you know, remember how great he was. He was the talk of the town going for the Derby before he got hurt.
Yep.
He sure looks like he came back good.
Well, one other name to bring up with you. You tried Free Drop Billy on the grass, and of course Hawk Bill. The news coming of his retirement. You tried the Saranac. You know, we had talked about grass quite a bit. Where do you stand? What do you do now?
Well, he said he's out for a little pressure, and we'll figure it out before the end of the year.
So. All right.
But I didn't know about Hockfield. He got hurt.
I don't know if he got hurt, but I just saw last night, or actually early this morning, I saw something, and I saw somebody in Dubai had said something about Hawkbill. And, you know, they said goodbye and, you know, wishing him a happy retirement. And I, let me see if I, yeah, there, yeah, Godolphin's Hawkbill retires. It doesn't seem like there was any, just listen, what else was there for him to do?
He did plenty, but it's hard to retire one coming into the races that are out there if he was doing well. But they do things a little different than we do over here sometimes.
Yeah,
but he was one hell of a racehorse. Another, Kitten's Joy. You can't go wrong with a Kitten's Joy.
Who trained Kitten's Joy?
What's that?
Who trained that horse, Kitten's Joy?
The only champion I've ever trained. I probably had 20 of them that were nominated in the top three, but he's the only one. And hopefully, maybe promises can come through for number two.
You're certainly in the running for Sprinter of the Year, and
it all comes down to one race, basically, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. And that's
another
factor
on where you go. You go, you know, can you be sprint champion if one of those other top contenders wins the sprint, you win the mile.
If Imperial Hint were to win the sprint and you ran in the mile and won the mile.
They were
you'd lose to Imperial.
You'd lose. So that's another factor to think about.
Well,
so
that's why.
I don't know if you
have
any real listeners out there or not, but tell them to email you, give them your thoughts. Let's see what the people think.
All right, here's what we're going to do.
I don't read emails, but send them to the radio show.
Well, you can let me know, or you can. Here's what we can do on Twitter. Those of you that want to provide Dale with some insight, Romans Racing is the Twitter address, and so send.
I don't ever read that. Send it to Steve Fick's Twitter address.
Well, I, all right. Either way, whether they
you
want to send me an email,
we'll do a little poll, spread or mile.
Well, I'll give out your phone number here. We can have people call you direct. No, we're not doing that. Yeah,
we can do that, and I'll give yours out too.
Dale, give everybody, you know, there's a, oh no, oh my God.
You
can't go.
About 15 minutes of airtime, Phil, just feel free to call me.
Well, it's always fun. And there were some serious topics. Give everybody a couple of favorite joints for those coming to Louisville for the first time. Give them some restaurant choices.
I'm gonna tell you two off the top of my head that are local. Ceviche, probably has one of the best chefs in the country. He's been an Iron Chef several times. And he's called Jeff Leppard. He's the manager there at Ceviche on Bardstown Road. It's a good one. And Harvest, I think, is good. Harvest is one of the from farm to table restaurants in Newland that people would like hanging out down in that part of the section of town on Market Street.
Very nice. Ceviche, which is terrific. And I've not been to Harvest.
You never been to Harvest? Harvest is good, too. There are so many good restaurants in the city of Louisville, it's crazy. Jeff Ruby's, of course, everybody knows. That's kind of, it's not a chain, but it's the spot where everybody seems to hang out. But the ceviche's as good as it gets.
Ceviche with an S, not with a C. And so there, that is a good option. And wouldn't have thought of that off the top of my head. And Harvest, I like it. Good job.
Yeah. And my son, Jacob, he's a chef. You can't get a reservation. Just come over and we'll cook for you.
Well, there's an offer. We love it. Well, and the Romans team, of course, they are the unofficial hosts of Breeders' Cup.
Welcome to Louisville. All right, Steve, I got to get back to work here.
Work? What work? Are you even at the track yet?
I have a job, my wife, tell you the truth. I don't have people get up and go to some job every day. I get to get up, come to the barn, play with horses, and go to races every day. Have to be in the south in the winter and the north in the summer. It's a tough life.
It's not so bad. Dale Romans makes the most of it. Romans Racing, everybody, and watching for the decision. We'll see about promises fulfilled, and we'll see about the filly today in the Jessamine. And we also will see if maybe you get a chance to run Pico Entry even in the juvenile turf as well.
Maybe so. It'll be fun no matter what.
I love it. Dale Robbins, everybody. Thanks, Dale.
Thanks.
The one and only. Always fun. Let's time out on the top of the hour and come back. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. Sid Fernando standing by a bunch of topics. It'll be a bit of a lightning round. I'll just throw out one topic after another and let Sid riff, whether it's some of the stallions that sent out Breeders' Cup contenders or some of the news, including yesterday at Tattersall's and OBS and more. I've also got two passings that I want Sid to note. I both names from the Daily Racing Form. I know Sid worked with at least with one. I'm not sure about. I think maybe the other as well. So we'll give Sid a chance to appreciate at least one of them. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summerlin Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.